from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Wojtyn.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. How you doing?
I'm good. You know what? I could not believe that we got through 2 hours of radio.
Why is that?
It was so fast.
I know.
I've
loved
fast.
Our conversations, and I know we get a lot of people, we don't get people riled up. I know we get a lot of people thinking, but some people are upset, and we did get someone who, I just want to be transparent, because you just texted it to me, someone who is Wiccan, and who said that we were clueless when we were talking about that, and I will agree, we were clueless.
Yeah, fair. I agree. No, I agree.
We've got to admit when we are...
On more than just that topic.
Okay, don't open the door. But, yes, when we talked about that, if you don't know what we're talking about, go back to our discussion on scenarios. And a gentleman was upset that his girlfriend was getting into witchcraft, and he didn't understand.
Right. And then I started talking about, painting walls black and she's dressed in black. And like, yeah, I agree.
That is nothing about the religion.
Right? For sure. Okay. All right. Well, let's get into Agree to Disagree, brought to you by Johnny Tsunami.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
Okay. I have to take us back to one of our 10 o'clock conversations. And that comes to Tacoma's plan for affordable housing. Which would ideally rezone much of the city to allow units like duplexes, triplexes, and townhomes and a lot of the single-family areas. And if you are located near a transit corridor or a traffic hub, then you could see up to three-story buildings in your neighborhood. And I did not specifically ask you guys how you would feel if this happened in your neighborhood. And Ursula, I'm going to start with you. Because you're representing a lot of the homeowners out there.
Yes.
I believe you do live near a pretty big transit hub in the U District. Is that correct?
Yeah, so it's in. It's going to be going into the, what would you call that? Ravenna? Not Ravenna, but on 65th, Northeast 65th.
Right.
Yeah, so up there, just north of the U District. And it is changing. That's what I was referring to when I said there are big buildings now there all along 65th where there used to be homes that were many of them owned by a what you would call a crummy landlord or
right.
a slumlord. And so I'm okay with that. So that's what I said. The problem that I have is it's not affordable housing because I know that some of my friends' kids have now rented there and it's, $1,500, $2,000 for no amount of room, so that doesn't add to the affordable housing. So am I okay with it coming close to my neighborhood?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think it's a necessity. Do I think that a big, fat building like that should be in the middle of a block? No, but I don't think that's what they're talking about either.
Correct.
Am I okay with duplexes and triplexes within my street? Yes.
Okay.
Wait, why? Because why are you laughing, G? How about you? I want to hear you speak on this.
Because I'm mad the chef is bringing this up. Because this, that's why. Because I don't, when we all talk on the G and Ursula Show, no matter what, even if I want to make a really good point, I'm going to keep it a buck. I'm not going to lie. So the question is, G, would you be okay with the high rise, a big building being right there on your street in your neighborhood? I just want to say I live in a cul-de-sac. And so everybody that comes down this street, it's a hello, hello, those type of things. You're not a stranger. You're coming through. And I just want to say, I'd be okay with it, but it'll take me some time to get used to it.
Okay.
So I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I'm just telling you guys.
If you are being a hypocrite.
Okay, fair enough.
Because I'm going to ask you this.
Yes.
You think it's going to change the character of your neighborhood? I'm busting you right here.
Well, okay. When people use that term, we know, subconsciously what they mean by those things. I'll say this, Ursula.
No, it just truly means the character being...
Okay.
And I know it's loaded. And it has historic... Yes, exactly.
I do understand, if there's one thing that no matter what, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's housing, work, relationships, whatever, nobody likes change, okay? Nobody likes
Correct.
Change. So anytime there's any type of change, there's a problem. That's one. And two, do we need that? Yes, we do. And even though I'm keeping it a buck with you guys and tell you guys that I live in a little cul-de-sac and I don't even know anybody in my neighborhood, to be honest with you. But anyways, even though I get the little waves and everything because they're looking at my grass and I'm showing off my grass in the front, even though with that being said, I still believe, I'm being serious now, I still believe that there is enough room to put, to build up, to change how it is down here. The 90% single family land use is not good. That's not helping anyone. So,
and you believe it as long as it's not on that cul-de-sac where you have nurtured your yard.
No, Ursula. No.
This is what we're talking about. This is the problem because we all believe that, yes, there is this issue. Yes, it needs to be addressed. Yes, we need to do some kind of variance in the zoning, but don't do it in my neighborhood. That's the issue.
Right.
Very few people will say, please bring it on.
NIMBY?
It's within reason. Yes, it's called NIMBY. And NIMBY. Within reason, I say yes, but there are obvious places where it should go first, and those are the places where the affordable housing should go.
Exactly. Somewhere else.
In my, I just want to say though, in my neighborhood, there's a lot of room in my neighborhood. There is a lot of room. And even though the little change would kind of get me for a minute, it does need to happen. Okay.
Speaking of uncomfortable changes, the Fed, due to the rise of cryptocurrency, is exploring a once in a century chance to remake the US dollar. Yes, they are considering creating a digital dollar to be used alongside traditional paper currency so everyone could have a digital wallet that you could pay out with. You would actually not need to use a traditional bank to access your money. Are you good with digital money?
Absolutely am good with that. You want to know why? Do you know, can I tell you how many times I had overdraft fees? Anybody listening right now, you ever had overdraft fees? How much money does banks make from overdraft fees? People that are struggling day to day. So you mean to tell me you're going to charge them an extra $36 because their account went overdrawn? Yes, I'm okay with this. I am totally okay with that. That's number one. Number two, I'm also okay with the point of all the other currencies. Since we talk about crypto, we talk about Ethereum, we talk about Doge, you're talking about Bitcoin. All of these things, they kind of change and they fluctuate. Sometimes they're greater, sometimes they're less. But you know what that dollar does? It just stays the same. So if you put that dollar in a savings account, you get the same old boring 1% and 2%. And so a lot of people who don't understand money, they just sit there and they just take those percentages. So yes, Ursula, I am okay with digital currency.
You know what a lot of people don't understand, too, in addition to just not understanding their finances and how that whole situation works? Like, you have to have more money in than you take out. A lot of people don't understand cryptocurrency, digital currency. So you think that having this in addition to what we already have that exists is going to help? We already have a situation where our young people don't even – our young people – don't even carry money, right? We've talked about that.
The kids these days.
I know. I just realized that sounded so old school. So you're talking about now let's go to cryptocurrency? No. What that's going to do is create a system for only a few. Let's face it. There are people who are just never going to get into it, right? Just like there are still people who still don't do social media or have email or whatever it is. And it's just going to create even more of a divide, become more confusing. I see no need for it.
Well, you know, you said people aren't going to get into it. You know what it reminds me of?
What?
It's funny you say that. Do you remember family members saying, I'm never going to get a cell phone. I don't need a cell phone. Do you remember businesses back in the day saying, we don't need a website. We have our phone number on the door.
Good point, G.
You can't stop change.
Yeah, you can't stop change. But is this a positive change? What are the positives to this? What are the positives, benefits to me?
Here's a positive. I'm stealing your stuff on this one, Chef. $1, $1 bill that you see right there. You pull out a dollar bill, that $1 bill. And then we just been talking about inflation and how over this year, 5%, 5%. So that $1 bill that you have is not a dollar anymore. Mm. It's 95 cents.
Yeah. Lost its value.
I think the biggest benefit is cutting out the banks. Initially, when I thought of digital dollar, I think, oh, here's a great way for me to just get more fees for using my own money. But we're talking about actually having a digital dollar that's connected to your identity that you can use online without the banks. We've talked about the idea of creating government banks in the state of Washington here for this exact reason. It gives people, especially low-income people who have to take the checks in to get them cashed, etc., they get fees on all that. Think basically Venmo, but without any kind of fees, and this is tied to your identity. I think it could actually be less expensive and more useful for folks. Here's the big downside for me, identity theft.
I was going to say, it's just another ripe situation for fraud. And do we need more of that, too?
Maybe just change your password more than once a year.
But can I just add this one thing?
Yeah.
360 texts in and says, G, overdraft fee? That's your own fault. It's up to you to know how much money you got and not to spend what you ain't got. You know what? You're absolutely right. Hold on. That's true. But you're going to charge me $36 for that mistake? And wait a minute. And if I make a bigger mistake and I did it four times, you're going to charge me $36 times four? Again, you know who doesn't charge you overdraft fees? Some of these other digital banks that people are going to. There are no overdraft fees. And overdraft fees are the biggest scam that has ever existed.
I think that is a good selling point, actually.
All right. I guess we're doing a little paranoia here, so let's move on that theme. Is your boss spying on you? The rise of work from home, of course, has led to more and more employers adopting workplace surveillance software. So, reading your emails, monitoring your chats, your productivity, and even watching you through your webcam. And according to the firm Gartner, by 2025, 75% of work conversations could be recorded, and here's the key part, assessed. So, who you're talking to, how often, what is the tone of those conversations, how professional are you, how good is your engagement with clients, for example, what is the tone, what do you need to work on? AI can figure that out all for your boss. Ursula, does it bother you having your boss record and assess your communication?
I have a huge problem with this. So yes, and in the state of Washington, I'm not sure that would even fly because you have to have permission to record, right? So you can't do it secretly. You would have to have permission to record.
Record your communications the same way email is. It's stored in the cloud, right? There's a backup of everything.
Okay, so
not
yeah,
like
so
recording
you're not talking
you for posterity.
Okay, I gotcha. Okay, I don't like that either. That's going way too far, and I think it's based on metrics that have not been proven to me. I think that there's much more that can be had and done as a boss. If you're now, I mean, you talk about micromanaging. Now you're going to look into my communications and assess that. Yeah, I think that goes way too far.
I love this. I love this idea. First of all, you prevent all the Jeffrey Toobins of the world. That won't happen again. Okay, number one. Number two, when it comes to this whole, like, what's everybody doing? Sure. Usually, it's always about what are the employees doing? Sometimes there needs to be a judgment and a metrics on what are the bosses doing, right? What are y'all doing? So since everybody's being graded, since usually it's us being graded, how about the bosses being graded? Like, this boss put out a meeting and had everybody meet, but it actually could have been an email. As a matter of fact, it could have been a two-sentence email. But no, they wanted to have a 30-minute or an hour drag-out meeting. You drove to the office for what could have been an email. And I'm talking right now, some of you guys know what I'm talking about. Do you ever have that manager? Or that boss that has a meeting that could have been an email? So you prevent this kind of stuff. You have those managers that continue to do that. Their jobs are on the line. They can no longer do these things anymore. Oh, wait a minute. You're telling me what I need to do and you're in Hawaii? What?
Okay.
I love it.
I love that perspective. But let me ask you, Chef, is that part of the deal with this?
I don't know.
We're talking about a 360 kind of, you call those 360 review, and now we as employees would be able to.
Well, the software could monitor anyone. I've just been frantically searching, though, for any prior precedent for when workplace surveillance software is applied to management as well as the employees. And strangely enough, I'm kind of coming up empty.
You put it out there. It spits out every month. It spits it out for everybody. That like the algorithms, it shows everything. It's like, this manager, your percentage this month was 20%. Why was it 20%?
20% of what? Your communication via email?
Right. So people like me, I'm at 95%. Why am I 95%? I'm like, get to the point. Get to the point. That's the problem. A lot of communications. A lot of people just manage to manage. Well, Charlie, so we need to talk. You walked in today, and let's circle back. And you know all the things that people say. Let's circle back. Let's run this back again. Let me run this by you. You know all the corporate speak. It's old. Stop with the corporate speak.
Here's the big question, G.
Huh?
Is if you have software that can assess your employees, do you really need the middle managers anymore? And would you trade AI for your middle manager?
Pew, pew, pew. Wait, hold up.
No.
Yeah, see? No. No, no.
We have no one to complain about.
I wouldn't have a job. I wouldn't have a job. You kidding me? You think the algorithm would have said, bring this car wash dude off the street and give him a radio job? No. No, see, I can talk all I want to, but at the end of the day, I do not want computers to replace my bosses. I happen to actually, I don't really like them, but you know what I mean.
You do.
Not really.
But in any case, so just to be clear, this is something that is in consideration, not something that is.
I would call it a ship that has sailed that has yet to reach the harbor.
Ah, wow.
Gosh, that was a fun topic. Man, that was so fun. Ursa, what are we doing next, buddy?
We are going to talk about the life of the police officer who was killed while helping others on I-5. We're learning a lot more about her, and I think her story is one that you really need to hear.
You guys are listening to the Gene Ursa Show.
Joining us on the G and Ursula Show, this hour of our show is brought to you by Guardian Operations. I just checked with our news desk, and there's still no sign of this driver who stole a Seattle police officer's personal car after she was struck and killed on I-5 on Sunday. But as Cairo Radio's Hannah Scott tells us, we are learning more now about Lexi Harris, the officer who lost her life stopping to help someone else while she was driving on her way home.
It's a rare thing these days to find consensus on anything having to do with police, but that is exactly what you get when you ask anyone about Officer Lexi Harris. Agreement that she was the type of cop all cops should strive to be. The Seattle Police Guild president calling her the Wonder Woman of SPD, whose loss amounts to humanity losing a piece of its foundation. Barbara Smith knew Harris since she was a child and was asked by the family to share Lexi's story.
She was feisty. She could laugh. She was funny. She had amazing insight. There probably were people who might have been a little surprised that she decided to become a police officer, but once she did, it made perfect sense.
She spoke to Cairo 7 TV's Essex Porter.
She would meet somebody who's experiencing homelessness. She would try to help them find resources. And then she would come back to them and find them again and say, how can I help you again?
Smith says being an officer was a second career for the 38-year-old who had long worked as a personal trainer. And her number one goal was always helping people. And she loved being a cop.
Sure, there was very difficult times. But if you ask any one of her colleagues, they'll tell you that she was inspiring. She was a leader. She was a rising star in the department. She has been like that her whole life. So it's not surprising at all that she was stopping to help people when the tragedy occurred. Her commitment to this community and to helping people wasn't something that she just wore a badge for. It was a part of who she was.
She even loved being a cop last year, a difficult year for police at the height of the protests, which she was front and center for.
I don't know that any of us had wrapped our minds around just, you know, how bad it was going to get.
Afterwards, she and a friend launched a podcast aimed at improving relations between community and police.
I wanted to do something to give back or to, you know, make an impactful change.
She and Officer Callie Hensman started a company and a podcast.
What can I do? What can I change? It's not complaining. It's not just coming to work and things, but actually like giving back or making an impact.
She opened up about the goals on that podcast.
I have no idea if people have looked at me and thought, you know, I want to be that type of officer. I have certainly looked at officers I've worked with or near and said, I want to be that type of officer. Just like the extreme morality of some of the officers I work with, just like they do the right thing even when it's a hard thing to do. I always wonder, like, put in the same situation, would I do that?
During the height of last year's protest, she also joined Amari Salisbury from Converge Media for a sit-down interview and share her thoughts on policing.
I think that instead of pulling the officer out of these things, they should be more involved. So for an example, we have a lot of really cool programs that we can utilize downtown, such as LEAD or REACH. It helps people experiencing homelessness or addiction. It's sort of a diversion program. And we as officers can divert someone that way instead of going into the criminal justice system, which I think is what we're all looking for, right, as a way to not penalize all these things, but actually find solutions that will mean that they're not, you know, reoffending or get some help with addiction. But once we make those initial recommendations, we kind of are cut out of this. We don't really know what happens.
The outpouring of support has been incredible from all over for the family. Friends and loved ones describe her as a leader, someone with a big heart who believed in all she did and in helping people and working together. By all accounts, she's someone who could have helped heal the city. After all we saw last year, Seattle Police Interim Chief Adrian Diaz said Officer Harris embodied everything the Seattle Police Department is working to become. Her dedication to the people of the city is an example to every member of our department and all those who will come after her.
And I'm getting actually kind of tearful listening to all these details about Lexi Harris. By all accounts, an amazing human being. Everything that's good about policing, she embodied. And I'm sorry that we're only hearing about her and her words and her impact after she has passed, after she has lost her life while trying to help someone else.
Right.
Which, you know, again, what everyone has said is that was so like her. She was on her way home. She was off duty. And just hearing this, gee, it just, it reminds me to, that here was someone, and maybe we need to, not maybe, we absolutely need to do, in honor of Lexi and in honor of her family and her colleagues who are mourning, that we need to remind people that there are many like her and elevate their voices instead of focusing on the divisiveness. Look, she said she had this podcast. She was not complaining. She wanted to say, what can I do? Mm-hmm. I think we need to take those words to heart and say, you know, what is it that she wanted to accomplish in her time as a police officer? It's just so sad that she cannot continue.
Before this happened, I had never heard of her ever. But over the last 2 days, I have heard from people that have. And I can't believe that I've never heard of her. I mean, she's had a short time as being in law enforcement, but there's some people that's known her for 20 plus years. She was really heavy in the fitness industry, Ursula, and going to do something about what's going on in our communities. She did that, law enforcement, and she was in the community doing the things. And one of my partners hit me up and said, gee, she was a real one. And basically saying that she was a phenomenal person. And so I'm almost as embarrassed that I've never heard of all the things that she has been doing in the communities, in her work. And again, off duty, didn't have to stop. And in this situation was doing doing for others when that tragically happened to her.
I think that she is going to continue to provide inspiration for a lot of people for many, many years to come. And I hope that's what a lot of us take out of this. The other thing is the scumbag that took her car, he needs to get caught. The idea that someone was that heartless and sees someone breathing her last breath and the first thought is to jump into a car and take it, unbelievable. So I hope that person gets the maximum penalties once caught. And then the other thing, I believe she's going to be, this is going to be considered a line of duty death, and it should be. And I know that there have been times where officers in the past
for sure
have had to fight for that because technically she was off duty and she was on her way home.
She was in the line of duty. No question.
Yep.
No question about it. Wow, deep story. Coming up next, it is time to hear from you. We'll take your texts, your feedback. Then we'll have Ursula's words to live by. You guys are listening to The G and Ursula Show. It is The G and Ursula Show. Happy Tuesday to all of you. It's now time for your text feedback, and then we'll have Ursula's words to live by. Ursula?
And we'll start with the question, do you still need a landline today? 206 says, I have a landline, and yes, you do need it. Cell towers go up fast when there's an emergency. I keep it for backup. Hmm. Okay, that's my excuse too.
90% of American parents will start getting $250 to $300 month checks in July. 425 says, this single policy will help more American families than almost any policy in recent history. Multiple researchers are estimating that it has the potential to cut child poverty in America by half. If it continues past 2021, which it's currently not planned for. Gee, you mentioned the minimum wage. Well, a single parent with one child will receive the equivalent of a $1.75 per hour raise with just this policy. It's a $3.50 per hour raise if that single parent has two kids.
360 says, you said 90% of Americans will get this. Are you sure it won't be more? I mean, Jeff Bezos received a $4,000 tax credit in 2011 when he said he made $0 despite being worth $18
billion. Some of y'all texters are spicy today. 253 says, 100% agree with G. He's saying we shouldn't have to put off creating a family due to the struggle created by how much more expensive it is for us now compared to past generations.
And then there's 206 who says Gen Z and millennials are not buying into the narrative that they have to have kids like generations did in the past.
Yeah, that's a good point. The Girl Scouts have a surplus of 15 million boxes of Thin Mints. 206 says, time for ice cream companies to buy up the Thin Mints, milkshakes, Thin Mint ice cream, and chocolate Thin Mints. Yum.
Actually, you know what? I just was thinking, because Girl Scouts always say it's about teaching entrepreneurial skills for the girls. Why don't the Girl Scouts come up and have the contest? What's the best way to do what we can with these Thin Mints? I think that would be actually a great learning experience. Okay. Tacoma slowing down their plan to rezone the city for more types of housing. 253 says, how exactly do I build affordable housing? Have you ever tried to build a house in King County? You have to spend $250,000 in permits, inspections, re-inspections, the new permits after the old one expires, waiting on a geologist to tell you there's dirt on your lot. Oh, and if there are trees on your lot, you got to have the arborist out. This is all even before you start building that house.
They're not wrong. 253 says, Central North Tacoma resident, I'd be upset since my neighborhood is all single-family homes. How about stop holding warehouses in Fife and build more multifamily there?
Mm-hmm. Not in my backyard.
But makes a good point. If it's already zoned industrial. Are you cool with your boss reading and assessing all your communication with the assistance of AI? 360 says, I'd be fired if a if a computer assessed my communications. So would G.
519 says, I used to work at Tesla, and Elon sent a company-wide email saying most meetings should be standing, and if you're in a meeting for five minutes and realize you're not needed, to just leave.
Wow. That's kind of a cool way to do it. 360 says, you know why you have to hold meetings, G? How many emails do you not read and never reply to?
Who? You know what? That was personal. Did that come from inside the building? The feds considering creating a digital dollar. 253 says, gee, when you open a banking account, you know in advance what the overdraft fees are. They are still cheaper and less predatory than the payday loans. Oh, thank you. Oh, that's so nice.
253 says, digital currency is dangerous. Another government controlled. They can track everything that you buy. It's too much government control.
360 says, if you want to end tax evasion, a digital currency is the way to go. This is all about collecting taxes, not helping people out.
Scenarios, my girlfriend is now a witch. What should I do? 360 says, even if you guys were clueless about Wicca, you were still right that it's the equivalent to a new religion. The person needs to talk to their girlfriend about the concerns and changes. Yes, agree.
360 says, I am disappointed with your judgment of Wicca, which is clearly based on ignorance of the religion. That said, it doesn't sound like the girl has a hold of true Wicca, but rather something more dangerous. Witchcraft is not all about black clothes, and spells should be limited to specific uses and always for good. Additionally, Chef's comments on voodoo are A, irrelevant in connection with witchcraft, as these are vastly different, and B, ignorant as to what voodoo really is. His information is from the Hollywood description, not based on facts.
Guilty.
Let's get to words to live by.
We're out of time, but gee, we wanted to make sure we got that in.
we sure did. I wanted one that just gets right on Chef. That felt good too. All right, Ursula, words to live by.
Just remember, to attain true success and happiness, you need to go beyond me thinking and instead put others before yourself. Our words to live by every day are brought to you by immunity.proclub.com.
Hey, G, before they start calling up the winners of the vaccine lottery here, I need you to fix something for me.
I'm sorry, the person you are trying to reach has a voicemail box that has not been set up yet. Please try your call again later.
Can
Goodbye.
You fix that? Because I know you're more generous than me.
why you bust me out about my voicemail not being set up? I was letting Ursula slide with the "it's full." I'm like, oh, great. No, my voicemail has never been set up. Uh-huh. That way, any bill collectors you call, that's what you're getting. You ain't leaving me a message. All right, we got to go. It's been fun. Thank you, Ursula. Have a great week, Ursula. You're going to be having a blast.
Yes, thank you. Enjoy the week.
Chef, thank you. Andrew, appreciate all you do, brother. Thank you. And we'll do this again tomorrow, 9 o'clock. Appreciate you for listening. Love you for that. Be good.